old buddy Bill Buckmaster with you on this Friday, June 26th. Brendan Kraft, our fine young engineer producing the show on the other side of the glass. Brendan, how was your week? I'm sure you're glad it's Friday.
Oh, I very much so. Very much glad. Had a good time this week, though.
Welcome to the Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from central Tucson in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, part of the Bustos Media Broadcast Center, the radio station's 1030 KVOI, Tucson's trusted voice for live news and talk. This is our weekly edition of the program. We began 15 and a half years ago with the radio program, then as started as a daily program. We transitioned to Friday only, and that started at the beginning of the year, but we continue on with me on the air. We have our worldwide live listening podcast of the show. Our newly redesigned website is buckmastershow.com. And we have our telephone interviews, the live line presented by our friends at Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. A couple of quick shout outs. TucsonSentinel.com, one of our media partners. They have supported us since day one, 15 and a half years ago. And I credit that to the co-founder and publisher and editor, Chief Bottle Washer, Dylan
heads.
Smith, the guy that still takes out the garbage.
Absolutely.
And walks the dogs and all that stuff. Dylan, how are you?
I'm pretty good, although I got to say, it is a little warm out there.
Yeah, but it's
What's going on?
Is it summer? Yeah,
that what we're talking about
like
here?
That. Dylan's the past chair of Lion Publishers. Lion is the acronym for local independent online news publishers. Dylan was certainly ahead of his time with this online news services, which pretty much every community, it seems like, major community in the country has one, right?
Well, it now seems to be the wave of the present instead of the wave of the future. Yeah.
Also, a shout out to the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun, big supporters of ours, Dan Shear, who is, I think he still the editor of those two papers? Or I know he's the editor of the Nogales International.
He's all that and more. He's also the editorial director for the entire WIC newspaper chain. So he's a honcho in addition to, like, you know, editing words every day.
All right.
Busy guy still.
We have lots to cover with Pima County Sheriff Chris Nano. Sheriff, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Well, it's been 5 months. It will be 5 months on July 1st since Nancy Guthrie was taken from her home in the foothills against her will. The Guthrie family continues to offer the $1 million for information leading to her recovery. There were a couple of developments today pertaining to the two ransom notes that the FBI deems credible. The second note indicated that Nancy had died. What can you tell us at this point?
Well,
other than this is an ongoing investigation,
yeah.
I know we know that, but
I could refer you to the FBI. All kidding aside,
yeah.
The FBI is partners with us in this investigation, and there are parts of this investigation that our team looks at and handles, maybe the DNA. There's parts that the FBI is dealing with. One of those is all the ransom notes. And we speak of two that were most recent.
Those are the ones this morning.
Those two were that someone believes may or may not have some legitimacy to them. And the FBI is working that. I can't tell you much more on that because it would be inappropriate. It is ongoing. And I think the FBI has done a number of arrests for false or fake ransom notes. It's a shame that that happens, but I think we're looking at another one of those today with what's been reported, but we'll let the FBI do their work.
And Dylan, fill us in on what is going on today.
There's a report from TMZ about a more recent note, which I think you just referred to, that may or may not be credible. Someone claims that they have the two supposed perpetrators of this crime on video, and that they weren't the person who sent in a tip about the what ended up being a wild goose chase, a search down in Nogales, Mexico.
Okay.
It's you probably don't want to comment specifically too much about that, but it's safe to say there's a whole lot of nonsense floating around about this entire situation, and a lot of people looking for attention, even if they're not actually trying to exploit it for money, they're trying to get something out of it, right?
You know, it is a shame that these type of events occur. People have great interest, and that's good because it helps us. But then it really gets abused. And people who call in fake ransom notes, people who claim for the sake of media and the family, they get out and disturb, in this case, an entire neighborhood. And, you know, I know that there's got to be some balance there particularly when it comes to the media, because the media helps us. They do every day in terms of, hey, you know something, please let us know.
Yeah, get the word out. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But sometimes you get people who claim to be media. I'll let you guys decide that. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're not a member of your Lion team. I don't know. But, you know, we have to be fair to everybody.
We're talking about these so-called content creators, YouTubers.
Yeah,
three of them were arrested on misdemeanor
one
charges.
One was given a misdemeanor citation, right, and two were physically booked.
And the reason they were arrested, there was direct contact from the neighborhood,
yes,
saying, we need your help.
You know, Bill, absolutely, this has been going on. We went from, I don't know what you have here locally, maybe a dozen media outlets, to in overnight, 406 were here. And I have to balance their need to be able to report a very significant event. But even if it's not significant, they have that right. But we also have to balance that right with the rights of others. And once your right, whatever that right is, oversteps the bounds of somebody else and their rights to exist or live peacefully, then we have to take some action. And in this case, we tried to be very reasonable. We first put up deputies parked at this house to keep people away. Then it went to, okay, too many cars are parked here and the neighbors couldn't get by, so we put up no parking signs, temporary signs. And then it got to a point where, okay, this really isn't generating much used for media. And 90%, if not more, of the real media, I say real media, the national, local media outlets, they were very respectful, not just to our department, but to the neighborhood, the community. They left. Mm-hmm. They still report. You still see it. TMZ reports today. Mm-hmm. Others report. And that's fine. But we had two or three that, for whatever reason, thought that they should remain. And it got to be a nuisance to the community, that neighborhood, so much so that we're getting reports every day. If not, we went from a neighborhood that averaged 50 reports in a 6-month time to over 180, almost 200 in that same six. So we have to kind of balance that, and we thought we'd take an approach of, hey, let's go and warn these people. You guys really should do this somewhere else. What you're reporting really isn't anything new or earth-shattering. If there's something new earth-shattering, if we have something tomorrow, not just them, the entire media outlets will know about it.
I want to hear what Dylan thinks.
But they need to move.
Dylan, what do you think
about it? I'll take issue with your word reporting there. They're not reporting anything.
Okay.
But you know, what about this First Amendment thing?
Well,
First
you know,
Amendment rights.
Everybody has a First Amendment right. There's nothing that makes Bill, you or me special because we are journalists. The First Amendment, the right to report, the freedom of the press, freedom of speech, absolutely applies to everybody in the same way. There are certainly ethical considerations involved, and a lot of the folks who are standing somewhere all day long, live streaming all day, inventing bizarre, delusional, conspiracist fantasies, and blaming people who are completely not connected at all and saying they did it, inventing things about the family, claiming they are directly involved and responsible. That's just nuts. That's mm-hmm. definitely not being any form of journalist. Nonetheless, they have the right to do it.
Mm-hmm.
They also, you know, should not be standing in someone's private property in their front yard to do it. Mm-hmm. They should not be doing their business in public because they are so dedicated to live streaming and trying to earn money off of this, which is what they're doing. They're exploiting the situation, which is, in my personal opinion, shameful. That's not being a journalist. That's being an exploitative, abusive weirdo.
And as much as I agree with Dylan, I have to take a different stance, and that is, look, we got to balance this. Try to approach it with some sense of reasonableness. Ask them to, hey, you guys could do this somewhere else in the privacy of your own home, for that matter. You could come to my station. I've told park. They were parked out there for quite parking. We'll get you water. We'll take care of you. But have some respect for the neighborhood, and those people too have their rights. And so we ask them to leave. And like I say, 95% of them did. These last stragglers continue to come back. Yeah, so we
You can't arrest somebody for being a bizarre conspiracist weirdo, no matter what you think of them. That's, you know, not well, your function. They have a right to do that. Right.
So but the reasonable approach here was ask them to leave. Mm-hmm. A warning, if you will. Right. The next time is a ticket.
Sure.
The third time, and I really strayed on this. I didn't want to have to book anybody. Mm-hmm. But it got to a point where, you cannot urinate, defecate in front of my neighborhood, mm-hmm. your neighborhood. Mm-hmm. You just can't do that. Mm-hmm. And I had enough. And I said, that's it. They're going to go to jail.
Okay, moving on back to the investigation. It is the joint investigation of Pima County and the FBI. Can you tell us, Sheriff, how many resources, department resources, are you guys devoting still full time to this case?
Well, we have there is a task force, mm-hmm. and they meet daily at the FBI building here in Tucson. Mm-hmm. I won't speak to FBI numbers because they vary day in and day out, mm-hmm. but I'm guessing they're pretty equal to ours. And ours is about a team of anywhere from 10 to 20, depending on what it is they're trying to accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole lot more going on about your department than this one specific
case.
Why
would that be a good point here for me to take before we pick up on that in the second segment? Right now, Sheriff, it's time to talk about my favorite Mexican restaurant. You've indicated before on the show that you like very much El Cisne.
Very much so.
El Cisne in northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Dylan, have you been up there?
You know, I have not.
Multicultural, fine dining of many regions of Mexico. Mexican heritage at the heart and soul of El Cisne restaurant. They are located, again, the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Pickup or delivery. If you want some catering done, they'd be glad to do that as well. Open for lunch and dinner. I'm very partial to the chicken enchiladas with the green sauce. You get a wonderful meal up there. Check it out. El Cisne, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Let's take a break right here. Segment two will be coming up with Pima County Sheriff Chris Nanos and Dylan Smith from TucsonSentinel.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's new voter-approved $2.67 billion Regional Transportation Plan and Tax will go into effect on April 1st. The current RTA half-cent tax will remain the same. In addition to completing over 1,000 improvements to date, the RTA will fund new improvements to upgrade, widen, and repave roads. RTA-funded transit services will continue and expand where needed. Visit rtamobility.com for quarterly reports on RTA project activities and financial trends.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary. Home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Travel is in my DNA. When I'm ready to start another adventure, my trip begins and ends at our local airport, Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. TUS, where it's made easy to fly. Start planning now for your next air adventure by visiting flytucson.com. For more than 30 years, the nonprofit Save the Scenic Santa Ritas has protected Tucson's water and rare Sky Island ecology from large-scale industrial mining in the Santa Rita Mountains south of Tucson. The Santa Rita Mountains include sacred Native American sites, a crucial Sonoran Desert watershed and habitat for endangered species including jaguars and ocelots. Learn more at scenicsantaritas.org.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
That's a new one for me. Me more cowboy than you, Brendan. Where did you find that one?
I just kind of found these guys the other day, the Broody Brothers. They're Seattle-based folk band.
Okay.
Yeah, they're pretty cool.
All right, it is Buckmaster on a Friday. Pima County Sheriff Chris Nanos with us in studio, and my media co-host today, Dylan Smith from TucsonSentinel.com. The mascot at the Sentinel is now called what?
Scoop.
Appropriate.
Yeah. It's he has a full government name as well. It's Eduardo Arburo is that's his government name, but we call him Scoop. We had a contest.
I know, and I entered it, and I was one that I'm sure there were others, pretty obvious. Digger.
That was in there. We got hundreds actually of suggestions, and we narrowed them down by kind of popularity, and you know, threw in a few curveballs that kind of struck us as interesting, and then we let people vote on it, and the top two choices were Scoop and Eduardo Arburo. So we just figured, we'll just combine these.
Maybe Scoop needs a puppy.
Sheriff Nanos is with us. Sheriff, what's the latest on the dust-up? The several supervisors wanted you out of the picture. They wanted you to resign. They wanted to throw you off, give you 24 hours to go clean your desk, and don't let the door hit you on the way.
Our Board of Supervisors?
Yes, your Board of Supervisors.
Come on, Bill.
So are you going now to retain your job?
I'm still here, Bill. You know, the people who it has always been my belief, the people who voted me in will also have the option to vote me out. They've always had that option.
Did you make a decision now on your future? Are you going to run again?
Oh, come on. It's like I run every day. The election was, 24? It's not even 2 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
We're 2 years away.
Okay.
I have a job in front of me. Mm-hmm. It's a big job.
Yeah.
I learn every day, and we keep working. Mm-hmm. And we'll just let the work dictate what the community wants.
But about your employment record, all that's in the past right now.
In the past 50 years ago, but some people think it's important, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm. Here's Dylan Smith.
There was a nascent recall effort against you filed for, and it looks like that's going to fall far short. The deadline to get those petitions in a week, I guess, and they maybe collected about 10% of the signatures that they would need.
Again, that's up to the voters. Everybody has a right to do a recall. It's part of government. Okay. I can't worry about all the naysayers.
Yeah.
You know, I get a lot of people who contact me and are upset about this, that, or the other. But I also get a lot of probably 2-to-1, if not 5-to-1, people who come up to me and say, "Hey, Sheriff, one of your deputies did this. I met somebody over here, they did that. You got a great team. You're doing a good job." I have to kind of really let that soak in. The fact that I have a good team, people who do good work every day. They're going to make mistakes. We all do. Mm-hmm. But those are, like I say, those are mistakes of the head, never of the heart.
I'm just curious, Dylan, before you jump in here, I'm just curious whether or not you think that your handling of the Guthrie case spurred a lot of this, let's get rid of the sheriff.
No, I think...
Do you think that might have been a factor?
No, I don't think that's a factor at all.
Okay.
I think the factor is you have one party, one person...
Who would that be? Talking about Dr. Hines?
He joined in with this other party. But you have one group of people mm-hmm. who were very consistent during the first run with for sheriff in 2016, who were consistent in 2020, who were consistent in 20. It's the same people. Mm-hmm. And it is that small group that, for whatever reason, they get on social media and they make a lot of noise, kind of like your content creators. They have a following and they just make all this noise.
All right, here's Dylan.
That's their right.
Yes, a little something going around with a tickle in the throat, isn't it? Me too. One of the kind of recent points at which you were at loggerheads with not just the board of supervisors, but also Pima College, was continuing to have the adult education, the GED classes in the Pima County Jail.
Yeah.
And you didn't want to pay for it. It was something like a little bit under $200,000 a year, $170,000, $180,000 a year to cover that. You didn't want that coming out of your budget. This week, the Board of Supervisors said, they got together and said, we'll pay for this out of our office budgets. We'll cover this. Are you going to, it's still up to you to sign the agreement with Pima College to continue to do it. Are you going to take them up on that?
So let me start, first of all, because I've heard this 100 times. The sheriff canceled the contract. One, I didn't cancel the contract. The contract is expiring this July 1.
Yeah.
Pima College came to us, which is their right, back in May, I believe it's May, and said, Sheriff, we'd like to, the contract expires July, we'd like to add whatever it was. I think it went from 160 to 177,000. Remember, this is right in the middle of our budget time. I'm going, okay, how do I justify going up from 160 to 177? So I asked Pima College, my team asked, I said, just tell them, give me some justification for this, that, you know, our program does this, 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 and we've done this, and then I can go to the board and say, we're going to raise this rate, because I just can't give money away.
Mm-hmm.
They came back and said, well, we don't keep any data. Well, wait a minute. No, you're a GED program, right? And adult training. Yeah. Just give me like how many GEDs? I'm thinking maybe they gave 40 or 50 or something. No, we don't keep that data. Okay, so I turned to my team. Now, you're a vendor. You're offering something, and we're giving you money for that. You should be keeping track of that. If my department, we have 4 or 5 grants. When I tell whoever the grant body is, maybe it's the state or the federal government, we're going to use this money for this. They come in every year and say, Sheriff, you said you're going to use this money for this. Show us you did, right? It just makes common sense. I'm asking Pima College, and they are, first of all, it is a good program. I've never said anything bad. I met with the chancellor, or vice chancellor, I'm sorry, and I talked to him. But the issue was, look, you're raising this from 160, 170, and you have no data. Can you at least share with me, do you do data at DOC? Yeah, we do this at DOC. Well, that's where this really belongs, in my opinion.
The Department of Corrections.
Yes,
you believe it belongs in this prison system.
Because I have an average day of 20.7 days.
Yeah.
7 days, the first 7 days, you're in detox. You can't go anywhere.
So how are you going to get a GED?
In 13 days. So I thought that their program might be a better fit over at DOC. Oh, we're there, Sheriff. Okay, good. So what's your rate of success there? Do you have something I could go to the board? We don't keep that data. It's like, the vice chancellor, I think, was pretty surprised to hear that. I'll be honest with you. But we had a chance to speak, and it was because, and I think it's because they just don't know. They took a path when they said, when the sheriff says, I can't sign a $170,000 contract with you, and you can't show me its success, and you've been here 30 years. So we looked at it, went back, okay, maybe we'll find 10 or 11. We went back 5 years. The average is, well, not the average. The number in 5 years is 4. Less than 1 a year. Last year, 1. This year, 0. how do I justify? You two are journalists. Would you not ask anyone that signed $177,000 mm-hmm. of taxpayers' money to just go out and said, yeah, they we don't know what they do. I love the people at Pima College. My staff says they do a great job. They offer their services, the program that we have, mm-hmm. adult learning, GED, the tests they charge for. If you go online, it's like $200 for 4 or 5 tests. But you have to have those 4 or 5 tests to be able to get it. And you're not going to get that in 2 weeks. When we looked at that, I said, you do this online for free to the community. But one person, and this is from them, I think it's Kirsten Randall said it, when they leave the jail, if you've taken 2 tests, say, and you're going to go into the community, I'm going to take my 3rd test. No, you can't do that. That's a different program.
Oh, okay.
So they have, and I thought, man, that just doesn't make sense. And I think the vice chancellor agreed with me. He says, no, we got to look into that. That shouldn't be happening. Mm. So I gave him some points. I said, if I were in your shoes, I would, first of all, DOC is a good place for this program. It is a good program. It has value, but you need to track that. You can't expect my team to do that. It's not fair for them. But more importantly, look at what judicial services for the county does with the transition center. They have a great success rate.
How do you like that transition center?
It's very good. It keeps people out of our jail. It keeps them monitored. You have judges who sit there. You have pretrial services. And they have a court. What a great way for a court who's going to say, yeah, you know, we're going to release you. But we expect you to go to AA meetings, NA meetings, get your GED. That's where this program needs. But on top of all of that, I told them I'd start there, and you might start with the Board of Supervisors because they're going to have to fund this. They do not, that's the other misconception, the board does not fund this program at the jail. Mm-hmm. They haven't for 32 years.
Okay.
That is funded from special revenues that I am responsible for, mm-hmm. overseeing and making sure that it applies and is equal to take care of every inmate. It's inmate welfare. The inmates pay for phone calls. They pay for text messages. They pay for tablets.
So right now you don't know if you're going
to
sign
it.
You don't know.
It's just like
you don't know if
money.
You're going to sign it at this
it's,
point.
It's not going to come to me for signature.
Okay.
They can continue at the jail, but
you have to let them continue with that, right? I mean, I can't walk into the jail and just start having a class.
No, you guys have to let them in. Well, we would, but I don't.
If the Supes are paying for it and Pima's going to do it, are you going to let it continue?
Well, absolutely.
Okay.
But
that was the essence of my question.
Okay.
Yeah, but the issue is really simply this. The Board of Supervisors, I think Mr. Christie was all over about, oh, the sheriff is this, that, and it's a line item, it's a small number. First of all, Mr. Christie, you ought to know your budget. You're the longest supervisor there. The sheriff doesn't have $350 million budget. And if you think we do, man, I'd have a jail bill by now. That's like almost 100. He's doubled my budget. I wish I had that.
Right.
So I really had some concerns there.
While we're talking about the jail, and we are up against a break.
Okay.
There were 2 deaths reported at the jail.
They're medical deaths. The medical examiners look at them. I think one is
how
like
many
60
have there been this
some.
Year? Do you know how many there have been?
I think that's it. We've had those 2. I don't know.
There were quite a few other years, right? Dylan, where there were some more?
Yeah, and we got our staffing levels to 100%, and they went down from 10 to 0.
Wow.
First time ever in the history that they had no deaths that
year. And you're saying the staffing level is now at 100%?
It's probably 90-some percent for the jail,
not
for the streets or the deputies, no.
Okay, we'll talk about the street and the deputies when we take... after our break, we're going to do 3 segments today with the sheriff. Lots to cover. It's Buckmaster on a Friday. Sheriff Nano sticks around, as does Dylan Smith. Be right back.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita's Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The News and Sun's media reach 75% of the region through newspapers, websites, social media, video, newsletters, and more. They also produce more than a dozen print and digital magazines annually for an audience of 70,000. Find them at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita's Sun, covering your hometown.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Food insecurity is a huge challenge in our community. Please consider donating to the Community Food Bank of Southern Arizona and Interfaith Community Services. And don't forget our animal friends, supported by the Southern Arizona Food Bank, which makes sure no one ever has to make a choice of feeding their pets or feeding their families. Let's make sure no one goes hungry in Southern Arizona. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, Friday edition. Brendan Kraft always coming up with some very innovative music for our program. Dylan Smith is my media co-host today. Dylan, the editor, co-founder, co-publisher of the very popular and growing online news service, TucsonSentinel.com. Sheriff Chris Nanos is our Friday Focus interview. So much attention, Sheriff, seems to be the city of Tucson and crime rates in the city. Let's talk about what's the situation with crime in the county. Being a county resident, I'm especially concerned about it. How are we doing?
You know, I wish we had zero crime. You know, that's put me out of business. The reality is, I think we're holding our own in terms of, you look at national averages for agencies our size, for community our size, those kinds of things. But I always have the same concerns as the other chiefs in the valley, and there's really two big issues. Our violent crime with juveniles, where we have youth involved, and we see that continue to climb, and we can throw that blame everywhere. I personally look at parenting first. We've lost some of our parental skills somewhere, but gun violence with the youth, all of those issues. But I right now, and it's, you know, it's been that way probably every year since I've been in office. The number one complaint I
what
get in my office,
what is it?
So about rapes or robberies or murders, traffic. It still is. In fact, as of just a few weeks ago, we have now installed our second special enforcement team, another team of 7-8 deputies and a supervisor. So you got now 15 people out there.
Any motor units?
Nothing, and motor units and traffic and all of the. So remember, my traffic division consisted of 4 motor cops. That's now gone up to about 8. But they also were responsible for major accidents, DUIs, all those investigations. And we wanted them out there enforcing traffic, which is tough to do with 8 people. We've tripled that now, probably. Well, you got 4, you got at least 15, 16, and we had 8. Yeah, about 24 people doing enforcement. Mm-hmm. And we continue to grow that. But that's really, for me, because I've got no additional staffing, I got no additional funding, it is robbing Peter to pay Paul. It's making decisions that says, do I really need this program? But when the community is screaming about this, I mean, fatalities in the county, the city's like almost double where they were, and we're probably close to that. Mm. I mean, So we work with transportation, the county transportation department. We work with our traffic team. Right now, because of our Pima regional efforts with TPD, DPS, Oral Valley, Morant, all of us, they now pick out, and this really goes, the credit goes to TPD. Their team said, hey, can we kind of line up everybody on Valencia Road from the casino all the way to Houghton and just knock people down if they're speeding or what? Absolutely. And it was such a success, and every agency was involved. That was so successful, they said, how about can we do that on
River
Oracle? And they went all the way from the city downtown all the way to the county line. And we thought that this is, you know, it's not always about writing tickets. It is being seen and visible. And so I think we have now said to the city and others, boy, this is such a great program. We need to step it up and just do it weekly. I think they were doing it like every 6 weeks. Well, they're doing this now weekly. And so I hope it has an impact. The numbers are tremendous in terms of violations they're finding and seeing, but it's really about, for me, having a presence out there to get people to come on, use your head.
Traffic-wise, PCSD's directly responsible, the primary responsibility for traffic enforcement in a whole lot of built-up areas. There's not another police department in the foothills. That's you.
Exactly.
Down on the southwest side, which you just mentioned, all over the place. Areas that are suburban, if not exactly urban, but tons of traffic, very busy roads, and your deputies are the ones who have to do that there, right?
Yeah, and the growth is incredible. Look at Rockin' K, several thousand homes out there, Valencia and Star Valley, thousands going up. You just fly over this area, and there is thousands of homes being built. With those homes come what, one or two cars? You're increasing our traffic demands, and I get it. You drive here, I drive. We see some knuckleheads behavior out there that just, you know, it's one thing running the red lights, and I think Phoenix is looking at bringing back red light cameras. I'm not sure
Tucson's
that's the answer.
City of Tucson's looking at red light cameras.
Maybe it is the answer. I don't know. I just know that last time you had, it was a pretty big vote. It was like 2-1, 3-1 saying we don't want them. Mm-hmm. That's kind of hard to overcome unless you have a different strategy to deploy.
Can you use radar guns in the county?
Oh, we do.
You definitely do. Yeah. Hey, a quick question from a listener. What about the Pima County jail? There was talk of replacing it, repairing it, doing something with it. Is that on the table still? Or
I spend millions every year, just to maintain it.
Is it falling apart?
It needs replacement. And I know the county's worked with a couple of companies out of the Phoenix area, and they've come up with designs. I think this, maybe we'll hear something more from the county administrator and the board in, I'm hoping, August, September timeframe, to get with this company on their recommendations and see. Look, it's not going to be cheap, but it's not been cheap to maintain, and eventually we are literally putting lipstick on a pig. It needs to be replaced, and it is a big cost. I don't get paid to come up with the ideas how to fund it. I get paid to say what our needs are. The board says this is what we can afford.
This new budget, does it have any money for your deputies?
It does. So the county gave a countywide 3%. Then they looked at, they did a benchmark study. When we started CBIZ, a program many years ago to look at, we need to be competitive with our competition and hiring in our neighbors. And so that started annual reviews. You have to do that. You have to stay up with the Joneses, right? If you're going to retain and hire. They've done a pretty good job, but in their last study, last July, they found that deputies were out of the range, as were their sergeants and detectives. So they've bumped them up. They'll get, everybody across the board gets 3%. I believe deputies will get another 5.8%, and sergeants will get a 10.1%. It will keep us competitive in those areas. But there are also other areas that came out below market. And that's really a challenge, because you only have so much money in that bucket. And so the hope is that, again, this July, we'll look at it again every year, and maybe we'll be able to get a few more in line and a few more in line. But it is a constant battle that needs annual attention, if not more attention. And it is, at some point in time, you've got to say, and this is where I tell people, you know, the border has a tough job too, because it's not just the sheriff's department. There are 7,000 employees there. Some, my custodians or my cooks at the jail, they're in a hard way. They could use some help.
How is the food there at the jail?
Yeah, it's not fine dining,
but they do, but get three meals a day there,
and they're hot meals. They do a good job there. I have a very conscientious mm-hmm. kitchen staff. Mm. I know that other jails were serving green bologna type. The food has to meet certain standards by state, nutritional standards, and their staff watches
certain
all
amount
that.
Of calories.
But they also know that, you know, you can't just give sandwiches all the time. We do need to try to spice it up, if mm-hmm. you will, for them and give them decent food.
Dylan, we haven't talked about immigration with the sheriff today.
True. To circle back for just a minute, I've got a couple of questions about the recent jail deaths. And the most recent one, the man who died, I can't remember his full name, but he was only in jail for, you know, less than a day, a few hours, really, and was found apparently while he was having a medical emergency, or found unresponsive, basically. How are people being assessed when they show up? If you go watch the video of this man's initial appearance in court, he was in bad shape, very bad, you know, very non-responsive, kind of, you know, almost nodding out, putting his head down on the table. When people show up there, who checks them out, what extent?
So you have a medical team that is handled through the health department. We don't have anything to do with them, but they are medical professionals. It's not NAFCARE, maybe it is, or Centurion or whatever, but that's all, that whole thing is through the health department. They provide us a doctor and a nurse. I think it's an RN that when you first booked in, before you get in, you are examined by that medical staff. If that medical staff, if you recall, we got into quite a bit of battle with others when we were rejecting people because they had fentanyl. But that wasn't our team saying, oh, he's got to go get him out of here. That was medical team's evaluation saying, no, this person cannot be here because we don't have the capabilities of taking care of this kind of patient, a broken bone. We're not orthopedics, whatever it might be. So yes, there is a process where before you're booked in, you are seen by medical personnel. They make an assessment, and whatever they say, trust me, my COs, they're very talented and skilled, but clearly they're not going to overrule a medical professional's opinion.
Because you deal with a lot of people who are in rough shape.
Absolutely.
Most of the time when you're going to jail, you're there because you've made some poor choices, correct?
Yeah.
And amongst those, you have a lot of people who, you know, have serious drug problems, and thus the long-term and of course, very short-term severe medical issues that come with that.
Yeah, no doubt. And these deaths, we're speaking of most recent, I can't get into too much because of HIPAA, but if you looked at the medical examiner's reports, you would see that these people had some long-term illness issues going on.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a shame.
The previous one, which was about a week before that, we didn't get any kind of public, there was no press release, no news release about this person dying until a day after we started asking questions, which was a week later when we heard about it. And why didn't you guys, generally you make an announcement, send out a release, hey, someone died in the jail.
Yeah, we want to be as transparent as possible. I can look at it and find out for you, but typically what happens is the jail does it, they call our criminal investigation team to come in and say, yeah, it looks medical. It could be something that is nothing more than we don't know, so we have to wait to hear from medical examiner's office or the hospital, or if he's I'm not sure which one we're talking about here. One of them was bailed out, so now we can't speak of it because he's under hospital care. Yeah. And we
no,
just
this
can't
is somebody who died at the jail about 2 weeks
I'd
ago.
I'd have to look at it. And okay. And also, there's been a lot going on with our media release team, our public information officers team, and they could have been just busy. I don't know. I hope that when you called, they didn't just say, yeah, we'll get to you. I hope they said, no problem, we'll look into it and give you what you need.
About a day after we started asking questions, hey, what's up here?
Okay.
You know, a media release was sent out, but it just struck me as a little bit unusual.
And like I say, it could have been a day or two later. They know that, hey, these are sensitive issues for us and the community, so let's get those media releases out. But the PIO can only move as fast as a car in front of them. In that case, criminal investigations team would probably have to draw up the media release, give it to them, and then they go through that process to get it approved through.
All right, Sheriff, we're going to have to let you go. So your Corvette is waiting for you outside. Your chariot is waiting for you. All right, Sheriff. Thanks for coming by. We'll catch up with you down the road here.
Okay? Thank you all very much.
Thanks very much.
Here. Thanks.
All right, Dylan, thank you for coming in.
Absolutely.
You going to stick around for Weekend Watch?
You know, I don't have any weekend plans yet, so I should. I got to know what's going on around this town.
Thank you. Be right back.
Travel is my lifelong passion, visiting more than 100 countries, all 50 states, and flying on nearly 75 different airlines. I'm ready to talk travel anytime, anywhere. That's why I'm excited about our new monthly Travel Talk podcast, hosted by Bon Voyage Travel President Ryan Hansen. Check out the latest travel trends on Travel Talk at bvtravel.com.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rialto River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
A new 20-year Regional Transportation Authority plan will be in effect starting April 1st. Voter-approved transportation improvements will be funded across the region over the next 20 years from a half-cent sales tax paid by residents, businesses, visitors, and tourists. Funds collected from across the region flow back out across the region to address the needs of all transportation users. The RTA will fund improvements to roadways, transit, bicycle, and pedestrian infrastructure, and more. Visit rtamobility.com for upcoming activities.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
At Tucson International Airport, we make it easy to fly from the moment you arrive.
Hop in. We'll get you from parking to the terminal in no time.
We keep our lines short so you can get to your gate quickly.
Why deal with the big city airport when you can relax with our dining options before your trip?
We'll get you off the gate and into the air fast.
At TUS, we make it easy. Visit flytucson.com. Now with nonstop flights to Portland, Las Vegas, and Salt Lake City.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Friday, July 3rd, we'll have a special best of program. Then Friday, July 10th, we talk with Congresswoman Adelita Grijalva. Plus, Weekend Watch with 101.7 The Drive on 1030 KVOI The Voice. We're always live Fridays at noon and at buckmastershow.com for podcasts and show archive. Moon Over Montana. That's a new one for me. Brendan Kraft pulling that one out of the hat. Time for Weekend Watch with 101.7 The Drive, presented by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. We love it over there. Fabulous weekend awaiting you if you decide to take the drive, and it's not a bad drive at all. About 3 to 3.5 hours to the Land of Enchantment, and you'll have a great time. And did I say it's cooler? It is, because it's a mile high elevation, which puts it at about anywhere from about 5,000 to 7,000 feet in the Silver City area. All right, Leslie Lois is here from 101.7 The Drive. Charles Heller, KVOI radio personality, is also with me because he's got something special coming up, and we will not be doing a live Weekend Watch next Friday because we'll be off for the 4th of July, but we will have a special program. And we've asked Dylan Smith from TucsonSentinel.com to stick around because, Dylan, I don't think you have any weekend plans.
What was this about it being 5 to 7,000 degrees cooler over in Silver City?
Did I say that? 5 to 7?
No, no.
No, it's fine. I know.
But it probably seems like it, huh?
We can at least say 10. Safely say 10 degrees cooler. Okay, Charles, why don't you start it off for us? How many years have you been doing
20, this will be the 21st.
21st year with your 4th of July event. And tell our listeners what that entails.
Well, we do a public read of the Declaration of Independence. We start at 8:30 in the morning on Saturday, July the 4th, in front of the Udall Recreation Center, right in front there at the, under the Tree of Liberty, about 150 feet south of the flagpole. And we gather together at 8:30 and we pass out copies of the Declaration. I have it made in 27 parts. And so we pick out people who will read, and then the voices come out of the crowd, a sentence at a time, different voices, different accents coming out of the crowd, and then together we read the last sentence together, pledging our lives, our fortune, and our sacred honor. And then there'll be a breakfast barbecue. Turning Point decided that they liked my event, and they rented a Ramada separate from me, but we're close. We're not affiliated. But point is, there's going to be free breakfast for the first 100 people who show up, and it should be a wonderful event.
What time?
8:30 to gather, 9 o'clock sharp on the read.
Okay, and the event will be free?
It's free, and it's...
The barbecue, too?
Yeah, absolutely.
That might...
Get a few people there. So the point is, it might be. You never know. I mean, it'll gather the homeless a ways away from us. So who knows?
All right. Charles Heller, good luck with the event.
Thank you.
All right. Leslie Lois, what's going on this weekend?
Well, speaking of 4th of July, maybe you want to see the fireworks a little bit early. You can see them at Desert Diamond Casino. They're doing a fireworks display tomorrow night. It's free. It's at the I-19 and Pima Mine Road 1. There's going to be food, arts and crafts, live music. So at dusk is when the fireworks are going to go. So you can start the celebrations a little bit early. Now, tomorrow morning, if you're looking for something, the kids, Loft Kids Fest wraps up tomorrow, actually, and Sunday. So they've been doing this all throughout June. Free movies on Saturday mornings and free popcorn. Don't forget that. So tomorrow morning, you can see The Emperor's New Groove at 10 o'clock. And then the Muppet movie on Sunday morning that I'm excited about. And this is kind of a really fun event. I think I would love to go to this. There's a bubble bash.
A bubble bash. Okay.
At the Children's Museum downtown from 5 to 8. That's actually tonight, and it's free to attend. They're going to fill the courtyard with bubbles.
That's a big courtyard, too.
I know. Isn't that fun?
A lot of champagne.
One thing I'm taking my granddaughter to tomorrow night, Old Tucson Night Market is back tomorrow, 6:30 to 10. They have these throughout the summer, but there's food, arts, crafts, rides, free parking and admission. I saw that there was like a little petting zoo there, so I think it'll be fun for the whole family. I've heard these events are really, really cool. Also, Sunday, starting at 4 o'clock, we're going to be out, Matt and Randy are going to be out at Fork and Fire in Oro Valley, wrapping up our big food and supply drive for PAC.
We've been doing this drive for the last
Pima Animal Care Center. We're going to be out there starting at 4 o'clock. If people can come by, make a donation, and all up to 15% of all the day's sales will go to local animal shelters.
That's great.
We would love for you guys to be able to come out and say hi to Matt and Randy and, of course, make a donation. And then if you're into gardening, by the way, There's a Roots and Spirit, some community gardening event going on at McCormick Community Garden on Sunday from 8 to 9 a.m., so earlier in the morning when it's not super hot. You can get mini classes and hands-on demonstrations, so even if you don't have a green thumb, you can go there and maybe learn to have a green thumb.
Well, Charles, do you have a green thumb?
No, but I have green spray paint, so I follow the Scout motto about being prepared. So anyone that needs it, bring your thumb to the 4th of July, and I'll set you up.
Dylan, any questions?
No, that was a great rundown.
Yeah, there's a lot going on.
And I've got to get ready for the 4th. I think I'm going to make sure I got all the hot dogs and everything. I'm going to go buy those before they get sold out.
There you go.
I think the popcorn festival thing there sounded good.
At the Loft Kids Fest. Yeah, get free popcorn.
All right,
you
know why? Popcorn.
All right, the Buckmaster Show presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, wholly responsible for the content of the program. Everybody have a great weekend. Thank you, Leslie, Charles, and Dylan. All right. Have a good one.